Chapter 17.
We did it, Draco Rex,
Ashanti declared, as she and the rest of the small army approached.
We defeated those ugly green mud wallowers. I'll admit I was a little worried when the hidden archers appeared, but somehow we did it. Somehow.
Rikuri snorted as she pointed at the land dragons.
I know exactly why we won. We had these big guys at our sides, and a great leader at our front. Seriously?
Nima spoke up.
Watching you take down two orc captains was something else, Ben.
It was nothing.
I shrugged. I've killed plenty of orc leaders before. This time it just took me a little longer than normal.
It's also a lot messier than normal,
Lazan noted, as she nodded to the mess behind me.
I don't think a single piece of that guy would be recognizable.
It's fantastic,
Nadir grinned.
That was one of the goriest kills I think you've ever done, Ben. I'm just disappointed they didn't want to stay and fight some more.
Batari huffed.
The second they saw their leader get blown to bits, they took off like prancers getting chased by a Ragahi.
I wouldn't worry about them. The ones swimming out to sea will be fish food before the end of the night, considering how dangerous these waters are. As for the others, well, it's actually a good thing they got away.
A good thing? How could it possibly be a good thing to have those orcs out there? Because they tell their friends.
Mira interjected.
They head back to their island with their dicks between their legs and announce how Ben has defeated them once more. Isn't that a bad thing, though?
Anora raised her hand.
Doesn't that mean they'll just send back more orcs to try and capture the island again?
That was the more orcs. That was the largest army I think I've ever seen. Yet all three of the parties they've sent out here have been defeated and downright humiliated. The orcs might be stupid, but they know when to give up and move on. Chances are they realize this island isn't worth the hassle, and they won't ever set foot here again.
And if they don't?
Well, then you'll have to kick their asses again, I reminded the three-horned women. Now that your dragons are back, nobody who dares invade this island stands a chance.
You won't be here to protect us?
I'm afraid not. As much as I love this place, it isn't our home. We came out here to hatch our wind dragon egg, and now our mission is done. We'll be returning to the Dragonkin Island soon, and after that we'll be setting off on another adventure to find Tyrion's kin.
There are more fire-breathing dragons out there?
Rikuri's mouth dropped open.
There are fire breathers all over the world, Rikuri.
Zamwe scoffed as she strode forth.
It's almost as if you didn't pay attention to any of my stories.
The long-haired brunette woman sat atop one of the land dragons, right at the base of his neck. The shaman had her legs pressed up tightly against the creature's grayish scales, and she petted his neck gently to calm him down.
It's not my fault you always tell him in the same boring way.
Rikuri chuckled.
I don't know how anyone can stay awake during one of your storytelling sessions.
Zamwe rolled her eyes at Rikuri's comment, and then turned all her attention back to her dragon. So, is that your dragon, Zamwe? I asked the shaman, as I took a few steps closer. Instantly, the land dragon's brow furrowed, and he bared his razor-sharp teeth. The creature lowered his head as he dug his feet into the ground and snarled, but Zamwe was quick to calm him.
Now, Huar.
Zamwe chuckled and patted the dragon's neck.
The Draco Rex is a friend. He's the one who killed the Scudoir and protected us while you were away.
The land dragon's lips covered his teeth, and he tilted his head as he took in Zamwe's words. Then, almost as quickly as he had snapped the first time, his demeanor relaxed.
That's definitely her dragon.
George chuckled to me telepathically.
That sort of non-verbal communication is something only bondmates can do.
They're not bondmates, though, I reminded the water dragon. They said the land dragons don't do that.
They most certainly do,
Jonas interjected as he wandered out of the crowd.
It's just that Chiaro people haven't quite learned the process yet.
We're open to the idea,
Zamwe noted.
I would love to know what Huar is thinking and feeling at all times, like Batari does with Swire.
Then we will teach you, I promised the Chero women. All of you, how many of your dragons came back? I looked around at the tribe of Chero women and saw only a handful of them raise their hands. And Rikuri, Zakiyu, Ashanti, Baratu, and Batari all hung their heads with sorrow.
Our dragons all fell in battle. They're not coming back.
Suddenly, Swaer's tiny red body swooped down from the sky and wrapped around Batari's left arm. The wind dragon positioned himself so his lower half had his bondmate in a tight embrace, and then he laid his head softly against her shoulder and pressed it into her neck like a nuzzling kitten. He unleashed a deep, happy dragon hum, and I could sense the tension in Batari's body disappear.
It's all right, Batari. I'll be the best dragon I could possibly be for you.
Batari raised her head, smiled, and wiped away her tears, before she leaned against Swaer's head.
I know you will. You already are.
Oh my gosh! Those two are so precious!
Yeah, they really were.
Not to be the bearer of bad news.
Zarya spoke up.
But isn't Swaer coming back with us? The whole reason we came here in the first place is so we could hatch him and then use him to fight against the orcs. About that.
Batari took a deep breath, turned to face her people, and hesitated for a brief moment.
Swaer and I are going back with the Draco Rex.
I nearly swallowed my tongue. Holy shit. Batari was willing to leave her entire way of life behind just so she could be with me.
Queen Mother,
Zamwe gasped.
None of us have ever left this island. And who will lead your people once you're gone? There are already two fine leaders in place.
Batari nodded to Rikuri and Ashanti.
And though it pains me to leave my home, I've come to realize Tambori has tasked me with an even more important job. He's blessed me with a child, as well as a loving wind dragon. It is my sworn duty to serve our god, and all the signs tell me his will is for me to join Draco Rex on his quest.
Oh, no.
Ashanti snickered.
You're not getting rid of us that easily. If you're going, then I'm going with you.
Me too. No questions asked.
I can't ask you to do that, friends.
Batari shook her head.
This is my duty. My duty alone.
Tambori's tusks, it is. We're coming with you.
Batari thought about it all for a moment and opened her mouth to argue. But nothing came out. Instead, she simply shook her head and smiled widely.
Okay, fine.
The white-haired Chero woman chuckled.
I figured you'd be stubborn about this. I suppose that means the line of succession falls onto Zamwe, then?
Not an option, Queen Mother.
Zamwe smiled.
For it is my duty to speak into the ear of the Queen Mother, and that's impossible to do when you're so far away. Also, I believe a land dragon would help immensely with the Draco Rex's quest.
Zamwe, are you coming along?
Rikuri gasped.
I am.
The shaman nodded.
Me too,
Baratu blurted out.
There's no way I'm passing up an opportunity to go out into the wide world and find a bunch of cool new ingredients to experiment with.
Then it all falls to Zakiyu,
Batari said, and she turned to face the mastermind behind the Chero village.
Are you up to the challenge, Zakiyu?
I'm afraid not, Queen Mother.
Zakiyu smiled and patted her belly.
Tambori has blessed me with a pregnancy as well.
The Chero women all broke out into hushed whispers.
The child will need his father, and they will surely want to be around their siblings.
Who even comes next in the line of succession?
Ashanti scoffed.
We just went through the first few quicker than a spotted hound devours its dinner.
I believe it's Nargawai. She comes after Zakiyu. What do you say, Nargawai?
Batari looked over at one of the Chero warriors.
Will you accept the gift of leadership, promise to guide the Chero people according to the will of Tambori?
I will, Queen Mother.
The Chero woman named Nargawai gulped.
It would be my honor. It's settled then.
Batari smiled.
The six of us will leave with the Draco Rex and assist him on his journey to save Tai's sacred creatures. In the meantime, I want you all to work hand in hand with your land dragons to keep this land safe and prosperous.
It won't be an easy task. Now that the Scudawar is dead and the orcs have fled this island, other dragons will most likely return. The wind dragons will come back to nest, as will any of the other dragons who once called this place their home.
It'll be up to you to protect them, and to ensure that nobody ever brings them harm or desecrates the sanctity of this island. Are you up to the task, Chero warriors?
All of the rhino women responded with a resounding
Haru!
As a 10-mile-wide smile spread across Batari's face.
Is this really happening?
Ashanti smiled at Rikuri.
What in the world are we doing, Rikuri? We're going on an adventure.
The hornless Chero woman responded.
We're going to follow our best friend and the great leader off this ridiculously hot island and explore many new places. New places with new creatures, which means our skills will be put to the challenge in ways they've never been before.
Ashanti grinned.
I can't wait. All right, Nargawai.
Batari mused.
With Tambori as my witness, I hereby submit my authority to you. Now, what shall your first act be as the new Queen Mother of the Chero people?
Nargawai's eyes went wide, and she rubbed her chin as she went deep into thought. Eventually she looked to Zamwe, and a smile spread across her face.
Well,
the new Queen Mother began.
If you are all truly going away, we'll never have another of Zamwe's great festivals ever again.
I looked over at Tyrion, who just rolled his eyes and smiled. We both knew where this was going, but we weren't going to complain. This truly was the last chance these women would have to experience Zamwe's festivals, and I didn't want to be the one to rain on their parade. They deserved any little bit of celebration they could get after today.
Suppose I could pull something together?
Zamwe shrugged nonchalantly.
We do have much to celebrate, after all. We've successfully defended our island, and our beloved dragons have returned to their home.
What about us, Ben?
Daria spoke up.
Shall we join them in their festivities?
Of course we should. We're not leaving tonight anyway. With that, the tribe of Chera women turned their miraks around and headed back in the direction of the village. Though the journey wasn't long or treacherous, we were all so exhausted that it felt like our simple trip was actually a 5-kilometer marathon. When we finally had descended the mountain and arrived at the gates of the Chero village, darkness was just beginning to fall over the savannah.
I shall begin the preparations.
Zamwe nodded, and then she turned her land dragon to the left and trotted down the street.
And I've got to get these miraks back to their stables,
Zikiu announced.
You can follow me, or you can dismount now. The choice is yours.
Several of us dismounted from our oversized ants, and then watched as they scuttled away after their caretaker. Some of the Chero women apparently decided to follow Zikiu out to the stables, and soon all that were left were Batari, the dragons, and my crewmates. You didn't want to go with them to the stables? I asked the white-haired Chero woman.
I had a better idea.
She cooed as she snatched up my hand and started to lead me away from my crewmates.
Come with me, Ben.
I'll see you guys at the festival?
Don't have too much fun.
Mira winked as Batari led me off to the outer edge of the village.
We'll see you there.
I knew exactly where we were going. I knew exactly what Batari was planning, and I could hardly contain my excitement as my cock started to throb through my pants. Soon we came to the small hut out in the middle of the savannah, away from everything else in the Chero village. Batari wasted no time in throwing open the door of the fertility hut, pulling me inside and then kissing me passionately. We made out for a solid minute before we realized we were almost in total darkness. Batari pulled away, gave me a sly grin, and then proceeded to saunter around the room and light the candles as she moved. Soon, the flickering light lit up the fertility hut, and I could see everything in all of its glory. Is this your way of telling me you want to take the Gurue statues with us? I joked.
No.
The white-haired Chero woman teased as she slid her fingers underneath the straps of her top.
I just wanted to use this place one more time before we left.
I wasn't going to argue with that one. Batari gave me sex eyes as she slowly moved her fingers around to her back and untied the tiny strap that held the garment against her body, and the spaghetti-thin strings dropped down to her side as she grabbed onto the shoulder straps and pulled them off with vigor. The Chero leader's small, perky breasts jiggled as they fell free from their fabric prison, and her dark gray nipples grew hard in the cool evening air. Meanwhile, my dick was rock hard, so hard, in fact, that I wondered if it was going to tear through my pants. Batari bit her lip as she looked down at my bulge, but she wasn't done quite yet. The Queen Mother grabbed the sides of her thong bottoms, slid them down to her ankles, and then tossed them away. She must have been really excited because I could see the wetness of her beautiful pussy as it glistened in the candlelight.
Well, what do you say, Draco Rex?
I told you to call me Ben. And what do I say? I say that I want to ravish your fucking body. Before the Chero woman could even respond, I dashed over to her, scooped her up in my arms, and carried her over to the bed. She let out an excited gasp as I tossed her onto the mattress, followed by a strange whimpering noise when she watched me get down on my knees.
What are you doing?
Celebrating our victory, I winked, and then I spread her legs slowly apart. I pressed my lips against Batari's right leg, and then started to give her inner thigh soft, quick pecks. Batari's body tensed up with anticipation, and she let out a soft moan to let me know she was enjoying herself. That's when I went in for the kill. I kissed up her thigh, hovered my mouth over her sweet, tender slit, and then placed my tongue against her clitoris. I began to make a circular motion with my tongue, and Batari couldn't contain her excitement.
Ben.
She gasped as she arched her back.
That feels so amazing.
You taste amazing. I shot back without missing a beat. It wasn't a lie. Batari's juices were as sweet as honeysuckle, and I couldn't get enough of her wet womanhood as I lapped her up. Once I'd gotten the Chero woman all riled up, I switched up my technique. I slid the tip of my tongue up and down across Batari's clit as I slowly inserted two fingers into her soft, wet slit. They went in without so much as a hint of resistance, and I pushed all the way up into the woman's G-spot.
Oh, Tambori's tusks! I don't know what you're doing, but... keep it up!
I made all sorts of patterns with my tongue as I fingered the Queen Mother intensely. Her pussy was wetter than a monsoon, and my cock grew to new levels of hardness at the prospect of entering her velvet tunnel. Soon I felt the walls of Batari's womanhood quiver against my fingers, and I knew she was headed toward the edge. I increased the speed of both my hands and my tongue, and Batari went wild. The Chero woman's body quivered as she practically turned to jelly on the mattress, and her moans grew closer and closer together until she finally couldn't take it anymore.
I think I'm about to...
Batari moaned as she orgasmed against my mouth. Her ecstasy lasted for several seconds before she finally stopped moaning, and then she relaxed against the pillow of the bed. Batari's eyes looked down on me hungrily as I slid my fingers out of her and stood up, and then they grew wide when they saw just how fucking hard I was. Are you ready for this? I grinned as I grabbed onto my waistband. Batari bit her lip and nodded firmly. Her eyes were filled with a mixture of wonder, fear, and excitement, and I knew she wanted me inside of her. I pulled my pants off my lower body, and the Chero woman let out a gasp when she saw my cock jump to attention.
Oh, how are you that big? Doesn't seem possible.
It is, I winked, as I threw my pants to the side and then tugged off my shirt. And you're about to get it all up inside of you, again.
I've been dreaming about this ever since we did it the first time.
Batari groaned as she sat up and spread her legs.
I want you to pound into me again, Ben.
I'm going to, but not the same way we did it before.
Then how?
The white-haired Chero woman's eyes lit up as she thought about my proposal. Turn around, I commanded, and made a circular motion with my finger. I want to take you from behind. Batari grinned sensually for a moment, but then she obeyed my order. The Chero woman flipped around so she was on her stomach, and she rose up on her hands and knees, until her tight, plump ass was right there in front of me, practically begging to be fucked. I got up onto the bed, came up behind Batari, and grabbed her around the waist. I felt a wave of pleasure shoot through my very being as I pressed the head of my dick against her entrance, and for a split second I thought I was going to blow my load right there. I took a second to recompose myself before I gripped onto Batari's waist and brought her back onto my dick. Both of us let out a moan as her wet, warm pussy slid down my shaft effortlessly. The walls of her velvet tunnel constricted around me, but I wasn't about to slow my progression. So I pushed all the way into the Chero woman until I felt myself bottom out against her cervix.
Wow. I think you're actually in deeper this way.
That's the point. I leaned forward and whispered into her ear. Now I'm gonna send you to fucking Cloud 9. I slid my cock out of Batari and then entered her slowly. She responded with a soft whimper as she took me all in once more, so I repeated the action a few times to the same response. Then, once I had her revved and ready to go again, I increased my pace. The Chero woman's gray, tight ass bounced with each hard thrust of my pelvis, and her white locks cascaded along her back like a frozen waterfall as I fucked her hard. Soon the entire fertility hut was filled with nothing but the sounds of our pleasure, as well as my dick gliding in and out of her wetness. Batari's velvet tunnel tightened like a vice around my cock, and I had a sneaking suspicion she was about to come again. So I leaned forward, placed my hands around her shoulders, and forced her down on me as far as humanly possible.
Oh, God! Oh, how are you so far in? That feels so good.
You like that? I growled into her ear, and then I kissed the back of her neck softly. Because there's more where that came from. I slid my cock out of Batari, thrust it back in, and then repeated the action two more times before I felt the warm coil tighten in my stomach. Well, that wasn't going to last much longer, especially when Batari's pussy had me in its grasp like a vice. What finally sent me over the edge, however, was the Queen Mother's second orgasm. Batari's entire body froze as she leaned forward, gripped the mattress so hard that her knuckles turned white, and threw back her head. Batari's tight pussy spasmed around me, and that was it. I shoved the Chero woman against my cock as far as she would go, and then let out a deep, guttural groan as I unloaded inside of her. My cock pulsed as it sprayed my warm seed into her womb, and the sensation was so intense it felt like I came an entire fucking bucket. Once both of our orgasms subsided, Batari and I collapsed onto the bed. Then I rolled off the beautiful Chero woman, positioned myself so I was up at the top of the mattress, and wrapped my arm around her neck.
That was amazing.
Batari sighed as she nuzzled against my shoulder.
I guess I shouldn't have been surprised. I just kept thinking about the first time and how it was so good that it must have been a dream.
Not a chance. And trust me, now that you've decided to come with us back to the Dragonkin Island, there will be plenty more where that came from.
I can't wait.
As I held Batari's naked body against my own, I couldn't help but think about everything that had happened in the last few days. 6 incredible, sexy, powerful women had agreed to join me and my crew on our adventures, and they even brought along with them a frickin' land dragon. I couldn't wait to learn more about these things, as well as figure out how to get Zamwe officially bonded with her creature. Then there was the fact we had Swa'er as well. We literally had the 4 main elements on our side: wind, fire, water, and earth. Yet, we were nowhere near finished. We still had to find all of the dragons that had fled the volcanic island and bond them to my women. Then, once that was done, there were apparently nearly 2 dozen other dragon species out there for us to find. But that could all wait for tomorrow. For now, all I wanted to do was lay here with Batari and then go off and celebrate our victory with my crew. Being the Draco Rex was a tiresome job for sure. But I wouldn't have traded it for the fucking world. End of Book 10.